anytime that you try to go to a new level of greatness, whether it's in leadership or in an organization or anything, you have to realize that the doing it single-handedly isn't going to get you there. You have to bring like-minded people with you.
Welcome to the Christian Leader Made Simple podcast. I really hope this episode helps you learn and master the skills you need to grow your leadership effectiveness and enjoyment. Be sure to hit the subscribe button to get notified as soon as I post a new session so you don't miss a single episode. I'd also greatly appreciate any reviews, likes, and shares that you can give me. It just helps me extend my reach to more people. So leaders, I know just how frustrating it can feel when you're in the weeds of work or ministry and life is chaotic, you're struggling to feel effective, and you're just not enjoying leadership as much as you could be. And so to help you, after many years of leadership and executive coaching, I've developed a framework called the Christian Leader Blueprint that'll guide you to find clarity in your life and leadership. It'll help you gain a better rhythm of life. It'll help you see yourself more clearly, to leverage your strengths, and you'll produce more productive relationships. It's a step-by-step guide to leadership transformation. And I have that in two formats now. I have a free short guide that you can find on ryanfranklin.org, and I have a book, The Christian Leader Blueprint. And you can find that in any format, including an audiobook, wherever you buy your books. I have a few more things on my website that you may be interested in, so just head on over to ryanfranklin.org and check it all out. And now, let's get to our session. Today, we have a special guest on the podcast. His name is Donnie Willis. Donnie has been the pastor of Westchester Church of White Plains, New York, since 2017. And he's also the founding pastor of Living Hope NYC in Manhattan, New York. Donnie has a bachelor's degree in of theology from Texas Bible College and a master's in organizational leadership from Colorado Christian University. He is the author of a leadership book called Good, Butter, Best. And there's a little story behind this, and I want him to share that in just a moment. But Donnie is married to Ashley. He has three young children, Braden, Claire, and Elliot. And so, Donnie, I just want to welcome you to the Christian Leader Made Simple podcast.
Ryan, thank you so very much for the invitation to be here. It is an honor to be on here. I've watched yourself stuff from afar, and so it's nice to get up and close and personal. And so thank you once again for the invitation. I just can't tell you how honored I am. But yeah, it's been quite a journey. I'm originally from Louisiana, moved to New York back in 2017. And yeah, the book that you mentioned, it, Good, Butter, Best. It does not sound like a leadership book. It sounds like something that probably should be in the cooking section of Amazon. But it is, and where that came from was I got the opportunity to be in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade dressed as a stick of butter. I remember that right before that morning, I looked at my wife and I said, babe, nobody's going to know about this. We are going to keep this on the DL. We're just going to do it. It's going to be a great moment, and we're just going to move on with our lives. But what I didn't know is that I was actually going to go viral on Twitter twice with Al Roker. And both of those, and you can find video clips of both of those on YouTube and whatnot, but both of those led to appearances on the Today Show, led to a lot of interviews and radio and TV appearances and whatnot. And so it has truly spread like butter on a skillet. And it's just been a lot of fun. And from that, I was able to write a book using life experiences and my bend toward leadership. And so a lot of opportunities opened up because of that. So it was a lot of fun.
And you actually were able to go on the NBC show, correct, and kind of talk through that scenario, if you don't mind, a little bit.
Yeah. So right after the parade, you know, everything's blowing up on social media. I get it was actually a Facebook message from a producer at NBC's Today Show said, "Hey, we would love to have you on the show if you're available." And so we connected, and I connected with a producer who he actually wrote a segment for my book, and he and I kicked it off, and he was wanting me to talk about the parade and all that kind of stuff. And I remember stopping him in the middle of our conversation the day before I went on the show, the first time. And I said, "Man, I'm going to be honest with you. I am a pastor, and I don't know if you guys want to incorporate that or not, but I mean, it's who I am. It's what I do." And he goes, "Oh, we don't want you to hide anything. We want you to be completely open about it. We want you to highlight that." And he was like, "I need you to send me 100 photos of whatever you want to send me pictures of, and make sure you get pictures of you in your role as a pastor." And so we were able to put all that together, send it off to them, and they highlighted my family. They highlighted the church. They highlighted our lives, because he made a comment. He said, "We understand that you are more than just a man in a butter costume." And it's like, we want to highlight that. And so it was very neat how God just kind of opened up doors. And, you know, I look through scripture and I find where if God can use a donkey to accomplish his will, he can use a stick of butter to accomplish his will. And so
the way all of that started, which that's a phenomenal opportunity, by the way, but the way all of that started was Al Roker actually pushed you in on live TV, right?
Yes. So I'm running down Central Park West, and he has set up in Columbus Circle. If you're aware of like how New York City set up, Columbus Circle is at the corner of Central Park West where you kind of turn on. I don't remember what the cross street is, but so he is set up right there, and somebody in his entourage says, "Hey, Butter, come see." So I run over there, and he just had a joke that he wanted to drop. And he did. Whenever he did, he pushed me away, and the push became viral. The creator of Hamilton, the musical, tweeted something about it. And whenever he tweeted it, that's just when things went spiraling out of control. I didn't know that it had that point. But then a little bit later in the parade, I'm just running down the street, and he is in his little motor car, and I just run up and I just jump in front of his camera and I just start screaming, "Butter your ham, butter your turker, just put butter on everything." Well, I did not know that in that exact moment he was live. Now, this is a 2+ hour parade. What are the chances that in those like 4 to 5 seconds he would be live? Well, second one just threw everything right over the top. And then people started putting together, "Hey, this is the same drunk guy at the beginning that was in the middle." And they started, "But this is the same guy." My phone was blowing up. Everything was just, you know, I was sitting in the room, you know, taking off the butter costume and everything after the parade was over. I'm not really thinking about it. And whenever I finally look at my phone, I realized that something truly had happened. And I looked at somebody, I was like, "So apparently I'm viral on Twitter, but I don't have Twitter. You think I should get on it?" And they were like, "You better get on it before somebody becomes you." And sure enough, somebody became me on Twitter. And that was and there were like fake Butterman accounts popping up all over the place. And it was crazy.
But through all of that, Donnie, you were able to, like, even get some, so you have a church right there in Manhattan. So you were able to get some connections and created some connections that even added to the church, correct?
Yes, sir. That is correct. So one of the things that I built through all of this was a website with my name on it. That was very awkward for me to do. I'm not going to lie. It was very awkward for me to do.
It was awkward for me at first as well. what is your website, by the way? Because that's where people can go on and see these viral shots, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So the website is just my name, Donnie, D-O-N-N-Y, Willis.com. Okay. And awesome. There, I I've taken all the interviews that I've done over this and all the video clips and just made it a one-stop shop to all of those things. And it was actually at the recommendation of NBC to do that. And so we put all that together. And whenever our church, you see, we're church planners. And whenever we began to enter into a new stage of this thing, and we began to move from renting another church of another denomination to getting our own space, we were looking to get a professional office building. The realtor Googled me and found all of the stuff and thought, oh man, this guy's legit. This is somebody that we want to work with, and told our story to the owner of the building. And was like, this is somebody that you really want to work with. Because normally people might be a little shy about working with churches. And so what it did was it brought credibility into a world that I had none. And so
that's awesome.
You know, being able to use all of these pieces. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, the scripture, I believe, is absolutely correct. That God can make all things work together for good. And so that is... that's truly what has happened, and it's been a beautiful story.
So we're gonna get into what we actually came on the podcast to talk about in just a moment. But I want to pause here and just ask you to share a little bit about what you're doing in New York from the perspective of you went there to pastor a church, then you started a church. Now you're moving into the Pentecostal organization called UPCI calls Metro Mission. So just tell us a little bit about what you're doing. And I would encourage you, even if someone wants to partner with you, if you can just tell them how they can do that. We'll talk about that again at the end, but go ahead and throw that out there right now.
Absolutely. So the Metro Mission program is designed for places that are hard to start churches in, places like New York City. The cost of living, as everybody on this podcast can probably imagine, is super high. And so you need help, and you need additional resources to be able to pull that off. And so for us, our church in Manhattan, currently we are meeting on Sunday afternoons in a jazz club for about 4 hours, and we pay by the hour, and so our rent becomes somewhere around $1,000 a month. We have stretched ourselves to be able to accomplish this. We've done this for we've had this Sunday church here at crazy prices for about 3 years now. But in order to go to the next level, we know that being able to go to the next level. Whenever I say that, I'm talking about like having a space of our own, like a long term lease. We know that that's kind of beyond us trying to do it by ourselves. Anytime that you try to go to a new level of greatness, whether it's in leadership or in an organization or anything, you have to realize that the doing it single-handedly isn't going to get you there. You have to bring like-minded people with you along that journey. It has to become more of a team. And so whenever we look at Metro Missions, what we're looking at is we are building a team beyond ourselves to help us reach for New York. And we're doing that by getting partners and monthly partners. And there's more information about that on our website, forNewYork.org. I had to think about what the ending was there, but it's definitely not. And think, I am for New York, like I am for everyone receiving the gospel. I believe if the gospel is for the world, then the gospel is for New York. And if Absolutely. So since, you know, in the past 7 years between the two churches, we have seen at least one person from 20 different nations of the world baptized in Jesus' name. And so there's such phenomenal. A global revival and a global harvest right here. And it is very exciting to be a part of. Because in New York, there are actually 200 nations represented. And so there's
you can reach the world right there in New York.
Absolutely. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
And whenever somebody receives the Spirit of God in their heart here, or they are baptized here and their life is impacted here, then it can absolutely change the world. Because what there's a good chance that they may be living here. However, they may have family living in South Africa. We actually had a lady start coming to our church. She was from South Africa, but her entire family was watching our services in South Africa, and they had kind of set up a small home group. And so we had a little home group going in South Africa.
That's tremendous.
Because the way that the world is structured and whatnot, we believe if we can reach for New York, we can reach the world.
Yeah, that's tremendous. So Donnie, you were traveling through Louisiana recently, and we got to connect. It was not our first introduction. Our first introduction was years ago at a church in Thibodaux, Louisiana. I did a leadership teaching thing there, and you were there as a part of the audience in my teaching. And so that's where we first met. But we've stayed in contact loosely over the years, primarily by social media. But we got to just enjoy a breakfast together recently as you were traveling through Louisiana. And I was just quizzing you about what you had going on and your setup in your church. And I thought, my goodness, we got to have you on this podcast to talk about team leadership. The team that you have set up, the way that you described it and the way you guys interact was just phenomenal. And so that's why I asked you to come on the podcast. But this is going to be a little bit of a unique podcast because I asked you, Donnie, to give me some questions for the interview, and you actually threw it to your team and asked them to actually come up with questions. And so we are going to walk through some of the questions that they actually came up with. I thought they did a phenomenal job. And so I'll start with this first question that they gave us. What qualities do you look for in a team? And I'm also going to add, what qualities would you look for in a team member?
Absolutely. So first of all, let me say, I love my team. It is a team that I can truly say that I did not build. I believe that God built this team. And I thank God for each and every one of them. And like you said, Ryan, they came up with these questions because I was curious to see what they would throw out there. And you're right, they did a phenomenal job. And so I'm going to force them to all to listen to this podcast.
You used it as a team building opportunity, didn't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that goes back to, and I'm going to get into the qualities, but it goes back to just including people in the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not a one-man show. It is not a, I'm at the top and everybody else just does what I say. It is truly a collaborative effort. And yeah. I thank God for my team. I do, especially in this season of life that I'm in, because I'm traveling more than I've ever traveled before. And if there was not a strong, competent team in New York, we would not be able to do what we're doing. And so I thank God for them. So question, the qualities that I look for in a team. So where it begins is, for me, whenever I think about team ministry, it always begins in Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, the church was growing. It needed more leaders. It needed more workers. And the church leaders at that time had specific qualifications in mind for people that they were wanting to onboard. So they used this blueprint that they had set up, and I believe that is one that's very relevant today. They sought out among them in Acts 6:3, it says, "Search out from among you." So the first thing you got to do is you've got to search. And sometimes that's looking for individuals, and sometimes that's just searching in prayer, saying, "Lord, we need a team." That was what Jesus told us to pray. He told us to pray for a team. He said, the laborers are few, so pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers. And so the thing that Jesus told us to pray for was a team. And so whenever it says search out from among you in Acts 6:3, I believe that first quality is someone who's faithful.
Faithful.
Faithfulness is the most prevalent thing.
That's good.
The second thing it says is search out from people of honest report. So honest people who can be trusted. So I'd say number one is looking for someone faithful. Number two is looking for someone I can trust, that lives in such a way that they're not going to bring reproach onto them, their family, or our church in any area of their life. Their social media presents themselves with content that's pleasing and trusted. They refrain from activities that cause harm to their calling. Trusted. The next thing that the scripture says in Acts 6:3 is, right after honest, it says full of the Holy Ghost. I want people in my inner circle who are full of the Holy Ghost, who are full of the Spirit of God. They live a lifestyle of repentance. They have been baptized in His name. They are not only Spirit-filled, but they are Spirit-led.
So if they're living a lifestyle of repentance, that means they're not perfect.
Right.
They're just full of the Spirit of God.
Yes. Yes. And if they are full of the Spirit of God, then they are going to exhibit, I mean, there's going to be qualities that come out of that, such as love, joy, peace, long suffering. They are going to handle people properly. Because at the end of the day,
and that's where the rubber meets the road, is the relationships, the relational interaction that they would have. If they're full of the Spirit of God, again, not perfect, but in a repentant place in their life, full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to see fruit of the Spirit in their life. And that is going to reduce the abrasiveness in relationships.
Absolutely. And if you have a room full of people who have His Spirit in them, there's a lot of worldly leadership tactics that isn't going to be in that room. And so that's why I think it's common. I was on the phone call with one of our leaders recently, and I just ended the phone call by saying, "Hey, just want to check in on something. Do you still believe in repentance?" And they were like, "Well, yes." I was like, "Okay, just checking." And I was like, "I don't have a reason to ask that question other than to make sure you still believe in repentance." because it's important. It is absolutely important to be filled with the Spirit of God. Because whenever we have His Spirit, it comes with the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and all of those wonderful things. So, but that scripture would go on to say, after full of the Holy Ghost, say full of wisdom. And so they should be competent. There's people I trust who are full of the Holy Ghost, but I don't necessarily trust their competence.
Yeah.
Because you should be competent in the skill and the ability for the task.
I'm glad that you clarified that, because I may not qualify for your team. And if it's just full of wisdom.
Oh my goodness. I will have you any day of the week.
Thank you, Donnie. But competent is what you're really after in that.
Absolutely.
You can depend on them.
And if they don't feel like they have the tools for a task, they're competent enough to get it.
Yeah.
I have said yes to a lot of opportunities that I was not ready for. But there's always a gap between where you're at and where you want to be. But there's this thing called a hustle muscle that you're competent enough to figure it out.
Yeah.
And so full of wisdom, I believe that there's a book called Good to Great, and it talked about getting the right people in the right seat on the bus. It's like, at first it's getting the right person. And once we get the right person, we can find where they're supposed to sit.
Absolutely.
And then it closes out that verse after it says full of wisdom. It says that we may appoint. I believe that that's responsible. Somebody who's responsible. They understand it's an honor to serve, and they live a life worthy of the opportunity. So faithful, trusted, empowered, competent, and responsible. And whenever they did these things, the scripture says, and the church grew. And so that's the type of qualities that I look for in a team.
So Donnie, you know, there's probably a lot of people out there that would actually be okay with just warm bodies at this point to help them on their team. Were you at that place at some point? And is there a process, like, or do they have to show up like this Act 6-3, or in some cases, do you help them get to that place? Do you sure. allow them to come in on your, with your team to some degree, and then you help them get to that place? Just curious your thoughts on that.
Absolutely. So number one is the right person. Getting that right person on the team is such a must. And they may not have it all together, but mm-hmm. I can speak into their life what I see. For example, there's one man who I saw incredible potential in him, and I spoke it, and he kind of got big-eyed, like, no, I think you got the wrong person. I said, no, you're that person. And I just began to speak, but I didn't just begin to speak it into his life. I believe that I could develop him into the person that God was calling him to be, because we are not just called to find people or help. What good is it? And this is my New York brashness coming out in me. But what good is it to have a warm body if we are not going to intentionally develop them into what they need to be? People development has to be a part of the role of the main leader. And I believe that we develop people by three ways. And anytime I'm talking too fast, Ryan, just slow me down.
No, you're not. You're good. I love this.
So there's three ways that we develop people. Number one is environment. Hmm. What environment are we creating to develop this individual? What environment is there? Is there an environment for them to grow? And so I think that environment is such a big deal. Because before God ever created one fish, he created water. Before he ever created one bird, he created air. So we have to create environment. I found that leaders that are developed, they're developed because they're in some sort of an intentional leadership environment. They see it around them, they feel it, they understand it. And so, but now there might be someone say, well, I haven't created that environment, or mm-hmm. I don't have that environment to put them in. And that's fair too, which leads to the second one, exposure. There's environment, and then there's exposure. You can equip someone through exposing them. There was times where I did not have an environment that was created. I wanted it and I was working toward it, but so I did whatever I had to do to expose them to it. And whenever I say expose it, what I mean is, hey, here's some money for you to pick any leadership conference to go to. I just sent somebody down to a leadership conference recently in our church. I could not attend it, but I sent somebody down there for that. And they came back totally full with all kinds of information and whatnot. And we sat down and said, okay, what are two or three things that we can apply here that you learned there? And I became the sponge and I let them teach me about some things. So I think involving others in that process and exposing is such a big deal. Exposure. If you're going to a district event, invite someone to go with you. If you're teaching a Bible study, invite somebody to sit in with you. Expose somebody else to what you're doing. And then the third thing is equipping. That's probably the one we know the very best as far as like developing leaders, because equipping is essential, and basically leaders do what leaders learn. And we have to equip the whole person and not just the part that we want. There's a story, Henry Ford, it was a genius when it came to automobiles and mass production, but, I believe his understanding of the worker was too limited, because he asked the question. He said, why is it that I always get the whole person when all I want is a pair of hands? He was saying, like, I was talking about the assembly line. He was basically saying, I don't want anybody who can think. I just want somebody who can put a part in this car. J- just their two hands. I don't want their mind. I don't want their spirit. I don't want their soul. I don't want their will. I don't want their commitment. I don't want their loyalty. Just give me your two hands. And yeah. So I believe that it's very important to equip the whole person and not just the part that we want. And that's hard to do because it means you have to invest your life in someone.
And I think in each one of these three things, Donnie, I think what's important here, I interact with a lot of pastors, a lot of leaders of even businesses and all. And I find often that many of them are just hoping that their people kind of fall into, you know, that they take the initiative to learn, that they take the initiative to equip themselves. And I think the very first word that you said when you started this was intentional. And if we are not intentional in creating that environment, creating the exposure, creating the opportunity for equipping, you know, if we are not as leaders intentional in doing that, it's not going to happen for them. There is some people out there that are high initiative people and they're going to take the initiative to do those things for themselves, but it's rare. And so intentionality is critical. We've got to have the tools. We've got to provide the tools, but intentionally putting them in an environment and exposure and places that they can equip themselves is critical in my mind. Glad you brought that out.
Absolutely. And which forces us to be intentional about what we are putting into them and making sure we have something worthy to put into them. If that means that we have to, you know, download a leadership podcast and listen to it. Because there are times where situations pop up where I feel completely inadequate on a situation. And so I have to learn a little bit about that or find the expert who knows something about that. And that might look like, hey guys, I found this podcast on this issue. Would love for y'all all to listen to it because I believe it deals with the issue that we're dealing about. So even what that does is it gets the same language into everybody into the room. And so we all know what each other are talking about. And so it forces us to lead and it forces us to constantly learn. And so that's, I think that that's important on our end.
And I just want to say this, sort of an infomercial, if somebody is struggling with where to start with their team on that, go to my website, ryanfranklin.org, take the self-assessment, Christian Leader self-assessment that I have. It's free. And it'll tell you exactly where to start with your leadership development. You don't have to guess. And it's very important that we get laser focused. Time is of the essence. We've got to get laser focused on our development. And if you're not sure where to start, go to my website, download the short guide of the model that I created and take that self-assessment and use that to guide you, allow your team members to take the same self-assessment, use that to guide their development. I promise you it'll make a difference. I promise you.
So before we continue on with the podcast, this episode is brought to you by Christian Leader Community Coaching. Are you a Christian leader who is overwhelmed by the complexity of trying to figure out how to grow your team? I want to introduce to you our Christian Leader Community Coaching Program. We have an easy-to-use online platform that has a full archive of courses, supportive community, live group coaching, and elements that are customizable specifically for your team. And I've personally seen the quick an enormous impact that it can have on a team of leaders who are focused together on learning and mastering the skills needed to grow their leadership effectiveness and enjoyment. And we want to be a part of that with you. We want to help you create and implement a plan. The community is very much affordable, but I would say that you can't afford not to have focused growth within your team. Your results heavily depend on it. So don't wait any longer. Let's do this together. Go to ryanfranklin.org and join Christian Leader Community Coaching today. I look forward to seeing you and your team inside the community. And now, back to our podcast.
So, Donnie, this is the next question. I know we've kind of even rabbit trailed here a little bit, but this is the next question that your team came up with. I thought it was a phenomenal question. This is one of your characteristics that you want to find in a team member. But it says, how did you build trust between the leadership of your team, both between you and this is your team writing this. So obviously they trust you deeply. You trust them. How did you build the trust between you and them and among themselves?
All right. So yeah, when I was looking at this, I was like looking at two different aspects here. How did I build trust with them?
Yeah.
I'm going to answer that question with a story.
Okay.
In 2 Samuel chapter 23, there was a casual remark made. David is in the den with his mighty men or bandits at the time. And he makes the statement, "Oh, that I could have a drink from the waters of Bethlehem, from the well of Bethlehem." Some of his men leave the den without him knowing, brave through the enemy lines, get to that well, drink water, get water, bring it back to him and give it to him. They risk their life simply off of a casual comment from their leader. It wasn't a command. It wasn't an order. It wasn't even a request. It was just a comment. And yet they heard it. And what I gather from that, people don't do that just for anybody. Mm-hmm. David had invested so much of his life into his inner circle that this fierce loyalty just naturally was created. So for my team, I want to invest my life so much in them where they are loyal to me and I am loyal to them.
Yeah.
Like those people were so loyal and I want to be so loyal to them. It's not something that just because I have the position of pastor that people are only going to follow you so long just based off of the title.
It's relationship.
We have built relationships so deep. You know, it doesn't appear on demand. It just happens.
Yeah.
And what I love about what David did, whenever they gave him this water, he was so moved and he was so humbled by their action that he took the water and he poured it out as a sacrifice to God.
Yeah.
He was so honored that he took that what they had done and said, "No, this belongs to God." And I look at the relationships that I've been able to build and I'm so honored because of it. And I say, you know what? No, these relationships belong to God.
Yeah. Well, Donnie, just to go dive a little bit deeper in that, you are, you know, you're a busy guy. You got three young kids. You've got a wife, you've got two churches, you're traveling all over right now to raise money for Metro Missions. That's a very demanding thing. You don't have time just to, you know, spend three nights of your week, eating dinner with these folks and different things. I'm sure you do at times, but you know, what is the practical part, the practical piece of this? How do you feel like you facilitate these relationships, with all the busyness of life?
So the first thing is, they have relationships with each other. Mm-hmm. We have a group text that we're constantly staying communication with. I check in with them once a month. We have a group meeting that we have once a month. It's on Zoom. That way it's convenient. But also, and I'm about to really tell on myself with this one or whatnot. I have an executive assistant and she has four main tasks that she has to stay on top of. And one of those main tasks is, and they're all in the form of questions. And so this question that she has to stay on top of. How can pastor care for the people that care for him? And what that looks like is she has a list of these people, their spouses, their kids. She has birthdays, anniversaries, anything that matters to them. And we make sure that we take care of them on special days. We make sure that we're getting to, and so, because you're right, I just don't have time to constantly babysit their time, but I do have time to invest in their lives and make sure they know that they matter to me.
And I would imagine there's also seasons that you can invest more heavily in those relationships. When you're, obviously you're in Louisiana, that's going to be limited. It's going to be Zoom and text messaging and whatever you can do. But, so it's making them feel special, but then it's also just creating opportunities as best as you can in whatever season that you're in, whatever place that you're in life, of communication, of
absolutely of
just communicating with them in certain ways.
And to the point where they have become, and this is more recently, and I appreciate it, where they have become to ask me, what are things on your plate that I can have?
Hmm.
Because I believe that whenever you invest in people and you make their life better, they turn around and they're like, how can I make your life better too?
Yeah.
For example, at one point I had a ton of Bible studies. At one point I had 14 home Bible studies going at one point.
Wow.
And recently I had a Bible study scheduled, and I'm going to tell on myself here, but this was kind of the catalyst for it.
You keep telling on yourself, Donnie.
I know. I promise you, vulnerability is not an issue with our team. We are fiercely honest with each other.
That's good.
But I had a Bible study scheduled for 1 o'clock in the middle of the day. And I had just gotten back, I believe, from Los Angeles. I had went on a whirlwind out there. I'd preached multiple nights. Flying back to New York, I was exhausted. But I had a Bible study planned for 1 o'clock on a Monday. And at 1 o'clock, about an hour before that, I thought, I'm just going to close my eyes for 20 to 30 minutes. And so I did. Well, I woke up at 4 o'clock that afternoon, completely slept through the Bible study, completely slept through the whole thing. And so I told that to a member of my team. And they said, you can't keep this pace. And this is a pain point. It's like, we know you love to teach that first Bible study, but there are other people that can teach it. And so I was like, well, let's build a list of 7-8 people that we trust that can take that first Bible study. And so we did. We built a list. And so now the thing that honestly I love the most is off of my plate, and I trusted them with it, and they know how much I love that. But I took one of my passions and I trusted my team with it, and because they know how much I love it, they're going to take care of it, and they're going to be responsible with it. And so that was probably how we build that trust and that that relationship with each other. Is because we're so vulnerable and we're so honest with each other that we can have those conversations.
Yeah. What I'm hearing is you're allowing them to even speak into your life in ways that are beneficial to you, like to tell you hard things like, Donnie, you need to stop this. Donnie, you need to do this differently. You're not taking that in a insecure, abrasive way. You're taking that in and really hearing what your team has to tell you. That's a phenomenal thing.
I know that they care about me, and I care about them. And whenever you begin to care about people, you know that the reason that they're telling you that is because they want longevity, and they want longevity for our church. They want longevity for the. Because they haven't just bought in to an individual. They have bought into the entire organization. And I think that changes the culture of everything.
Well, the transparent, vulnerable communication is vital. Would you say as well, Donnie, I've noticed with you that just in our brief interactions, even in breakfast, you're hypersensitive of the weaker sides of you. You're hypersensitive to the things that may be abrasive to relationships. Do you feel like that plays a role in it as well, that you're looking at maybe things in your life that you do that drives your team crazy, and you're trying to reel those things back as well?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I did a lot of these stories are coming out of my weaknesses here, but
recently,
100%. Recently, I fired off a text message, and it was 11:30, and I was in Louisiana at the time. It was 11:30 at night, which is 12:30 in New York time. And immediately, and that was in the group text for our team. And immediately, my wife sent me a text real quick. Said 12:30 at night, really? Slow down. And I was like, got it. And I was like, sorry. Yeah. I waited to apologize. So I said, sorry, guys, I wasn't thinking.
Donnie, have boundaries.
Yes. And because it was top of mind in the moment. And so I was like, well, let's connect on this or whatever. And then I was like, hold on, back off. Because I can be a very high octane guy, and I can run at a pace that quite frankly isn't always healthy. But being able to have people around you and say, we're going to slow that down a little bit. Like, that's a great idea for later. It's like, okay. And so just being able to do that has truly brought some help to our team. Even on a Sunday, whenever I'm there. Now, how we structure things, it is very rare. I can do it, but it's very rare, simply out of respect to my team that helps me plan everything. That I will get up and do announcements, or I'll do anything except preach. It's like, my job is to get up there and to preach, because there is somebody else that can do everything else. Mm-hmm. Just because I can doesn't mean I should. And if I'm doing something that I don't have to, that means that I am limiting somebody else's growth. And so it kind of goes back to just using people. And being, well, they're not going to do it as good as I do. Well, that's true. At the beginning.
Is it good enough?
It's good. Is it 60, 70% as good? Go with it.
Let's roll with it.
Yes.
So, speaking of that, moving into the next question that your team wrote, how would you define, church ministry is crazy. Like, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. there's a lot of dynamics to church ministry that is just messy. So just curious, how would you define overall success for your team?
Overall success for my team and for our church is if we come in with an idea, we put a plan together, we execute that plan to the greatest bandwidth that we have. And at the end of the day, we can give each other high side and say we did it. That's it. Because I do believe that production matters.
Yeah.
Four frogs sat on a log. Three decided to jump off. How many jumped off? Well, it was only one, because a decision really doesn't get you anywhere. You've got to have some action behind it. And so I'll tell you exactly what a lot of our meetings look like. We take notes. And then at the end of it, we ask the question, okay, what are the action items here? And, like, we use production software and whatnot to make sure that we all stay on track with accountability and all that kind of stuff. Everybody gets a job. If nobody's owning it, then it's not getting done. So everything has to be owned by somebody. But no, production absolutely matters to us. And I know that it's sometimes we like to become vague with that and give ourselves a lot of outs. I don't really, because, you know, Jesus told the parable about this farmer who goes out and he sees a fig tree, but it didn't produce. And so he's like, cut it down. It's not producing. Cut it down. But the gardener was like, hey, give me a little bit more time and I think I can get it healthy. And say, like, all right, I'll give you a year to get it healthy. But if it's not healthy, by the time I come back, we're cutting the thing down. And that really struck out at me, because I was like, Jesus cared about production. And because a lot of the stories he told were about production. What are we producing? What are we doing with what we have? Okay, I gave you a talent. What did you do with it? And yeah. I do believe that God gives us the bandwidth mentally, physically, spiritually to be able to produce. And so there are expectations. And my expectations for my team are a little high, but I think they're okay with that.
But even in the parable, with that farmer and the tree that's not producing fruit, I hear a sense of grace. I'm giving them grace, but at the same time, I'm holding them accountable to production at the end of the day. So it's a combination of grace and truth. We need to make things happen, but at the same time, we can't just kill people either. We've got to understand that they work jobs, they have busy families, you live in a metro area, but we've got to give them grace, but we also have to have truth. So with that, and this is kind of what we're talking about, but just kind of dive into it a little bit deeper about what accountability looks like, effective accountability.
Absolutely. So let's create a scenario here. Say we're holding an event. We plan the event. We do everything that we should do. The event's okay, but not great. On the back end of it, we sit down and we have an after action meeting. What are the positives? What are the negatives? What can change? Should we do this again? Should we not do this again? And we build consensus on how to move forward from there. And so whenever it is a team mindset, it's kind of like if you go back to the science project and you get partnered up with somebody. If one person does the whole project and one person doesn't, it comes out eventually. Yeah. And so I think with accountability, having that team culture, it creates a natural accountability, because we're totally depending upon each other to do the things that we need to do. Everybody kind of has a responsibility, and everybody helped make the plans, and everybody's depending upon each other. And at the end of the day, everybody gets a say with how it went from their perspective. And so it's just creating that team culture, of accountability. And I think it's absolutely, clear expectations. People don't do what you expect. People do what you inspect.
That's true. That's very true. But I'm hearing, a repetitive thing here, and that's communication. You're communicating about the outcome of it, whether that's celebrating what went right or whether that's, talking about what didn't go right. And I think this will kind of lead into our next question. I don't really understand exactly what your team meant by this, so I'll just ask you, maybe you know. They wrote division of responsibility. So what is that? What does that look like? And how do you do anything specific to establish that?
Everybody has an area. When they say a division, what they're talking about is an area of responsibility.
Okay.
Everybody kind of has an area of responsibility.
That's task and leadership delegated among your team. Yeah,
absolutely. What that looks like for us is, and this is more the practical side of things here. We use a thing called Basecamp. In Basecamp, we get to divvy out responsibilities and tasks, and everybody gets a job on. So everybody kind of knows what they're doing, deadlines, and it just kind of goes back to communication with that. And to establish that, we just, it's like, look, we know that these things are important. And so what's the best way to constantly be doing that? And we'll probably evaluate at the end of the year, how did we do with the software that we use, and do we need to do something different and whatnot. Yeah. But that's basically what that looks like.
I'm going to throw in a question here in the middle of this and just ask you, while talking about accountability and division of responsibility, if somebody is really struggling in their division of responsibility, what does that look like as Pastor Donnie Willis, as he engages with that team member that is struggling in their responsibility? How does that look?
A lot of covering. Because I may know that they're struggling, and others may not know that they're struggling. Mm-hmm. And because since I know it, I'm going to cover for them. And okay. I'm going to cover for them until they're healthy, because I don't know why. I need to know why. For example, okay. if someone is having a problem on our team, it may not be because of anything team or church related. It could be something personal. It could be something at work. It could be something personal. Could
be struggling in their marriage or
absolutely
having a problem with one of their kids or something.
Exactly. And so it's just getting to the bottom of that and saying, how can I make you whole and healthy? That's whenever it's like, I don't want just your hands. I want your whole person.
So before you would bring something like that to a group with communication and talking mm-hmm. about it, you're going to privately dive into a problem area so absolutely. That you understand, so you fully understand what is going on. So it's not always that you just throw out all the junk in the team room.
Oh goodness, no.
okay.
And that comes back to making
which
sure
is
that a, I'm
which
in
is effective control. Communication. That's effective communication is knowing it's social intelligence in a sense, and knowing what's appropriate with the group and the team, and mm-hmm. what needs to be handled one on one. And I would say eventually you would like for it to come to the team, because likely a lot of people are feeling the same thing you're feeling.
Absolutely.
But you want to understand that subject fully. You want to understand that situation fully before you do that.
There's three relationships that I believe that we need with every person. Number one is one-on-one relationships. I should be able to talk to them one-on-one and have honest conversations. If somebody is going through postpartum after a birth, or they had a miscarriage, or they're having something going on in their marriage, or whatever, that's one-on-one stuff. Mm-hmm. That's stuff that we can handle one-on-one, and I can figure out how to help. The second thing, the second level is groups. There's things that can hash out in groups that can't be hashed out one-on-one. And then the third area is large group, like a congregation. There's stuff said in the congregation, or let me put it like this. There's stuff that's said in the small group that does not need to be said in the congregation. And there's stuff definitely said in one-on-one that doesn't need to be. And so I believe that it's understanding those three areas and having the wisdom to know this situation needs to be handled in this setting. And so I think that I think we shoot ourselves in the foot whenever we don't use wisdom in that. Because like I said, it's the right people, but sometimes they can have bad days, and that's okay. Yeah. Whenever they have bad days, we're there for them. And it's like, okay, what do you need? Oh, you need a vacation? That's fine. Here's some money for it. You need to just not be at church for a Sunday. That's fine too. Stay home. I'm okay with that.
Wow.
You know, it's like, because we care about the longevity of the person. Cause here's what I understand. For some people, church is healing for them. So they need to be there. That is their healing. But I also understand that for some people, sitting on a beach and watching the waves, that's healing for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's everybody is just a little bit different. And it's just being able the wisdom to be able to look at the individual and say, what do you need to be healthy? Because I care about you long term, and I believe that God placed you on this team. Therefore, I'm going to do, for me, it's comedy, and I love laughing. And so there are times where I need to find an area where I can just go laugh. I don't want to hear another sermon. I want to hear a comedian. And so it's just balancing that, that they, I don't want people overworked. I don't want them burned out, but I want to be productive.
Yeah.
Like January, February, and March has been crazy busy for my team. They have covered for me. They have just worked their tails off. April is a light month. We don't have much going on in April, mm-hmm. and we're not planning much in April. Everybody's getting to take a break, even to the point where I've scaled back my travel calendar for the month of April, just so I can mm-hmm. breathe a little bit. Will it hurt me in one area of like Metro Michigan? Sure, possibly. But I'll be healthier whenever I get back on the road. And yeah, so it's absolutely. Just having that wisdom to be able to hit the pause button, say, how are we doing? How are you doing? Really? What do you need?
Yeah.
And then being able to provide that and be okay with it.
That's so good. So good. So Donnie, I think there's no way we can get to all of the questions that your team prepared. They are phenomenal questions. So we may need to have a part two on this, but, I kind of want to wrap up with, before I ask you my last question that I ask all my guests, I want to wrap up with this question. As the leader, you know, you are leading a team of people and you're obviously collaborating really well with your team and communication and building what you're building together in Metro Missions. But at the end of the day, you are also the senior pastor, you're the leader of what you have going on in New York. What, if anything, do you feel is your main responsibility when it comes to your team?
Sure. There are four areas that I believe as a senior pastor that I am responsible for.
Okay.
Leading with vision, teaching the word, implementing, and executing. I look at those four things and I slice it in half. Nobody else can have the vision of the leadership vision except me. Yeah. That's exclusively mine.
Now you can bring your team in and help and create the vision, right?
Absolutely.
But you have to establish it.
Absolutely. I'm the one who has to be able to say, hey guys, this is what I'm feeling in prayer. Mm-hmm. This is like my 30,000 foot view of what I'm feeling in prayer. This is the vision of where I feel like God is sending us or taking us. Yeah. And so leading, with the vision and being able to get up and cast vision is my responsibility. Teaching and preaching and making sure that people are spiritually fed, or I say lead and feed. Yeah. Those are things that I truly feel are pretty much exclusively God has placed upon my shoulders. Mm-hmm. Implementing and executing, those are things that somebody else can do. Somebody else can implement. Somebody else can figure out the path forward. Somebody else can find the way to make sure it happens. And so those are things that I can empower somebody else to do.
Yeah.
And so I would say that for me as this leader, I feel like it's my responsibility to make sure that we're leading in the right way and we're moving the right way and keeping things balanced, mm-hmm. And having that 30,000 foot view, you know, in Paul's writing, you know, you can even take the love chapter and he said, if I speak with tongues of angels, if I have all wisdom, if I can sing or whatever. And he was talking to there was like four different groups in the church that he was talking to. So mm-hmm. I have all these things, but I don't have love. I've got nothing. And so I look at that and say, you know, you've got all these different personality types and you got all these things, where people can get locked into this is the most important thing or this is the most important thing. But I think that as the senior pastor, it's my job to be able to understand all of those things, understand their value, but keep them mm-hmm. all in harmony where one does not become greater than the other. And so that's I good. Think that that is a lot of where the value of what I do, comes into play.
I love that. I love that. So as we wrap up, and before I ask you this last question, any final thoughts about team ministry that you have in mind?
You know, I'm constantly learning, constantly a student. Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. Mm-hmm. And I would just encourage anybody out there to find somebody. If there's a senior pastor listening to this podcast, or if there's a leader looking to this podcast, what are you doing today is my question to you to be a better leader today mm-hmm. than you were yesterday.
Yeah.
My favorite leadership quote comes from Babe Ruth. And he said, "Yesterday's home run doesn't win today's game." And you were a good leader yesterday.
Good quote.
But what are you going to do today to be a better leader? What are you going to read? What are you going to listen to? Who are you going to invest in? And I know that it's draining, and I know leadership just drains the life out of people because it does. But next time you go to a conference, pray about who am I going to bring with me?
Yeah.
Who am I going to have sit beside me? Next time you're on a conference call or something, who are you going to invite to sit across the table from you and say, "I think this could benefit your life"? Who are you going to pour into? And so I would just encourage every person on this call, be a better leader today than you were yesterday, and then have the same goal tomorrow, and you'll constantly be better. And so that's like my final thought right there. Just remember, yesterday's home run doesn't win today's game.
I love that. That's tremendous. All right. So last question. What's one thing that you wish you could tell Donnie, your younger self?
Relax a little.
Don't be so intense, Donnie.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm not really a hobby guy, but I wish that I would, but I'm trying to be.
Yeah.
I am actually naturally, I'm naturally an introvert who mm-hmm. has learned how to be an extrovert. And I wish if I could look back and I could talk to my younger self, I'd say, relax. Everything is going to be okay because you're stressing out over bridges that don't need to be built because there are chasms that don't exist.
Yeah.
And trust God and everything is going to be okay.
That is excellent advice. Just a few years ago, I started asking myself a list of questions, but one of them on Sunday afternoon, I asked myself, what am I going to do this next week for fun? And I can't tell you how difficult that question has been over the years to answer, but it forces me to give some thought to how am I going to slow down and just enjoy the present, enjoy life as I'm doing tremendous things. I need to slow down and enjoy life, enjoy my kids, enjoy my wife, enjoy my friends. And that's been very helpful to me. So Donnie, this has been a fantastic conversation. I think a lot of people are going to get a lot of great things out of this, a lot of good nuggets. So thank you so much for giving us your time today. If people want to connect with you in some way, we've already mentioned this, but I want you to mention again, where can they find you online? And also, I've got your book here. I haven't started reading it yet. I wish I would have this week, but time did not allow, but I will in the coming weeks. It's on top of my list to dive into. But where can they buy your book? Where can they support you in your missions work? Where can they find you online?
Absolutely. So the best place to find me is at you can find me on my website, DonnieWillis.com. But also, I'm pretty active on social. My Instagram is my last name, willis.donnie. Feel free to follow me on Instagram And you can pick up my book on my website, and there's some other places, but that's kind of the one-stop shop. And I would love to connect with anybody out there. If you feel like there's something, if there's somebody out there that feels like there's something that some way I could add value to your life, I would be honored to do that. Whether it's send an email or send a book recommendation or whatever, I would just be honored to walk with you on your leadership journey. Because there's a ton of resources out there and we don't always just know where to start. And so, I've researched, as you mentioned at the top of this, Ryan, I received my master's degree in organizational leadership. And one of the things that I learned through all of that was how to find the right resources at the right moment. And so I would love to be a resource to anybody out there, but you can just paint me a picture on how we can work together at DonnieWillis.com. And I'd be happy to work with anybody out there.
Well, I'll definitely put those links in the show notes, and so that people can easily find them. So this concludes our show today. My name is Ryan Franklin. Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Leader Made Simple podcast.